898 and 899, do you want them read separately or together?
I think we can read them together, Mayor.
Very good. 898, 899, please.
898, approve findings to authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements and authorize the use of the alternative contracting method of construction manager, general contractor, in connection with the Bull Run Filtration Project for an estimated amount of $350 million. And 899, authorize a contract with Brown and Caldwell, Inc. For the program management and support services for the Bull Run Filtration Project for a not-to-exceed amount of $67,891,398.
Commissioner Fish.
I think we can speed this up, Mayor. And while I'm making my opening remarks, Carla, could you hand out the Portland Utility Board's memorandum of August 21st, 2018, in which they signal their support for the preferred options that have been presented by the Water Bureau following their review? Colleagues, today we have two council actions from the Portland Water Bureau related to the Bull Run Filtration Project. Item 899 is an ordinance to authorize a contract with Brown and Caldwell for program management and support services for the project. Item 898 is an ordinance to approve the draft findings and authorize an exemption from the low bid method and authorize a competitive alternative contracting method for the Bull Run Filtration Project. Today, the Water Bureau and Procurement Services are here to present an overview of these actions. We're joined by Teresa Elliott, Water Bureau Chief Engineer, David Peters, Water Bureau Principal Engineer, and Larry Palat, Procurement Services. Teresa, would you take it away?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, Portland Water Bureau. And as Commissioner Fish mentioned, I have with me Larry Palat and David Peters from both Procurement Services and the Water Bureau. The purpose of Council Item 899 is to authorize a professional, technical, and expertise contract with Brown and Caldwell for program management and support services. Dave Peters will cover this item in more detail. Then I will talk to you more about the alternative contracting method process that you asked us about at last week's council work session. And then Larry will follow up with the findings in item 898.
Okay. I'll be really quick doing a couple background slides that you've seen a portion of this information last week when we met with you. So recent progress. One year ago, the City Council directed the Water Bureau to move forward with the development of a filtration plant for the Bull Run water supply. And then in December of last year, the Water Bureau negotiated a bilateral compliance agreement with the Oregon Health Authority. And that has a schedule in it for us to complete that facility by September 30th of 2027. And then with that background, we embarked on developing a request for proposals for this program management and support services. And we received three proposals in March of this year. So our current project activities, we're here today with these two ordinances. Earlier this month, we submitted an application to the EPA to be considered for federal funding through the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act. So those are some current ongoing activities. And then in the near future, project activities would include yet this year us beginning the program setup, developing the project definition for these filtration facilities and beginning the pilot testing to work out the details of what a facility might look like. What that means is that in the beginning, early 2019, we'll be coming back to council with a design contract for professional technical expert contract for design of this filtration facility, and that will later in 2019 be coming back to City Council with an authorization for a construction manager, general contractor, professional services contract.
What do you mean by advance the three preferred alternatives?
So the three we came to council last week at the work session with the four preferred alternatives. One action will be taken care of today as we take the action for the construction manager general contractor. The moving forward with the other three alternatives will be part of the project definition and pilot testing work.
Okay. So I haven't had a chance to meet with the Water Bureau yet. I'm looking forward to working with you all. There will need to be this public hearing is not to talk about what those three preferred alternatives are in terms
Correct.
Of capacity, location of the site, or method of filtration. I just want to make it clear to everybody that there will be an opportunity to talk about that, but this isn't it.
Correct. That was in my notes here. I was supposed to cover that.
The three preferred alternatives in this slide, Commissioner Fritz, are the three preferred alternatives that you bring to council. You've been given a range of choices, and you've been given a preferred alternative by the Water Bureau. And as we explained in the last hearing on this, the fall will be taken up with further community consultation. And at some point, and that would be in quarter one of 2019, it is your privilege to bring forth what you believe are the preferred alternatives on each of the remaining questions.
Thank you.
So this slide here is just a visual representation of what I've just described. It shows the schedule of the full project across the top with a highlight for where we're at today with the two council actions for the program management contract and then the findings authorization for the construction management general contractor. We will in the future be coming back in 2019 with a design contract for professional services as well as professional services for the construction manager general contractor. And at a future date, we'll be coming back with the GMP for the construction of the facilities. So last year we gave you an estimate on the project budget, which has a range of $350 million to $500 million. That's still the range that's being used on this project. The program management and support contract is coming in just under $68 million. And if approved, this amount is the only action that's being committed at this point in time. The CMGC construction contract is estimated to be around $350 million. And this is only an estimate for authorization purposes and has a low level of confidence. The construction contracts will actually be developed as we go into the project definition and pilot testing phases as we do our detailed planning over the next 2 years. So $500 million is what we have factored into our 10-year capital plan at this point in time.
So again, this $350 million is a placeholder number, and it could be changed depending on the capacity, the location, and the filtration method chosen.
That's correct.
Thank you.
So today's professional technical and expert contract with Brown and Caldwell is for program management and support services for the filtration project. The Brown and Caldwell will support the Bureau in delivering a complex water treatment facility and overall program management. Specifically, the contract activities include development and implementation of a pilot testing program, development of the project definition, providing quality assurance and quality control during design and construction, and providing construction management support. This contract will focus on integrating all of the Water Bureau's treatment systems related to the Bull Run supply, which includes disinfection, corrosion control, filtration, and any pre- or post-treatment systems that are going to be necessary. We used a formal solicitation process and received three proposals. All were from well-qualified firms, but it was determined that Brown and Caldwell was the most qualified to complete our work. So they'll be given a 5-year contract with a possible 5-year extension to complete these facilities. Brown and Caldwell has committed in support of the city's aspirational goals, has committed a proposed 22% disadvantaged minority women and emerging small business participation, which has an estimated value of just under $15 million. So at this point, I'll turn things over to Teresa to talk about the alternative contract delivery.
I'm Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer. In Council Item 898, we're seeking Council's approval for use of alternative contracting delivery, for the use of alternative contracting delivery method, specifically called the Construction Manager General Contractor Method, or CMGC. At last week's Council work session, you asked us to explain this method a little further and to explain who has the risk. The next couple of slides will actually answer some of those. So first of all, we have the first, we have the design, bid, build, which is considered, a lot of people know it as the low bid process, and that is required by Oregon Revised Statute 279 that says all public improvement contracts will use this approach unless a contracting authority, which is you in this case, approves exempting the project from the traditional low bid process. In the low bid method, the project is designed to 100%, then it's advertised by the city, and then the lowest responsive bidder is selected based on cost. We have no other selection committee no other selection criteria that's involved in deciding who gets the bid. What this means is that the design is developed without any input from the construction community, and so as engineers, we're making our best guesses of what the construction community would be bidding on and what they would be, how they would be building it. In a design build process, in a design build process, during planning, we would develop performance measures and criteria and include those in a request for proposal. Then contractors would submit proposals on how they would design and build the project. This project leaves the city with minimal control and input as the project moves forward. In a construction manager general contractor process, the project is designed 100% by the owner, but we bring on the construction contractor early in planning and design and to participate in the project development. This provides a competitive process, but we have a better idea of what can be built and the capabilities of the contractor and the contracting community. In the next slide, this slide just shows a little bit of the relationship between the design, the owner, which is the city, the designer, and the construction contractor. In the low bid method, the city hires the designer and the contractor separately, and all formal communication is through the city only. In the design build method, the city hires the construction contractor, and the construction contractor hires somebody to do the design, and they hire somebody to do the subcontract work, and all formal communication is through between the city and the contractor. And if we want to talk to the designer, it all has to be done through the design build contractor. In the CMGC method, the city hires the contractor and the designer, and we do a cooperative agreement between all parties, or partnership between the parties, to work together to come up with the project that works for us. Mayor, you specifically asked me in the work session who actually is bearing the risk. So in a low bid contract, the city is bearing most of the risk. In a design build, the contractor is building is assuming most of the risk. And in a CMGC method, it's a shared risk between the owner and the contractor.
Could I ask, on what basis is the bar shorter? Go back to the last slide, please. Why is the risk less with CMGC? Why is the risk presumed to be less than design?
In the CMGC, it's presumed to be less because the contractor has participated during the development of the project, and so a lot of things that we know about on a construction project don't come forward until you get to construction. If a contractor is involved sooner, then they're participating in what that might happen.
So CMGC is not new anymore, and
no,
that was certainly one of the big selling points. Does the data, now that we have some longitudinal data, does it bear this out?
I believe it does, but I'd have to do some research to verify that.
I'd be curious.
I can look that up. Okay. So in order for the contract to be bid, to be exempt from a low bid, the city is required to go through, according to ORS 279, Oregon Revised Statutes 279, we're required to go through some alternative findings, and then also according to City Council resolution that was passed last fall, 37330, we have developed with procurement a process for evaluating whether a project is a candidate for alternative or not. We have used both of those methodologies, and Larry will tell you more about it.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Yeah, really. I'm Larry Palat, Procurement Services. I'll try to cut back on some of my talking points. In the CMGC process, the findings are required by the state. There's actually 14 findings. I'm going to address kind of the top six. The idea is, and the methodology cannot reduce competition, and it does not reduce competition. The RFP for the final construction contractor is a competitive solicitation in which proposers submit responses to the information requested by the city, specifically around the qualifications, their experience, and their approach to the project. We do ask for cost information at this time frame, so we are at that point able to begin to develop some very serious budgets. Cost savings, as a rule, cost savings are achieved by bringing the construction contractor into the project team very early. They generally are very good at identifying possible areas in which we could save money, utilize a different product, compress a timeline, because these are the people that are actually going to do the work. Their thought process is extremely valuable. So specialized expertise in construction methods are an additional requirement. Project of this scale with as many possible complications as this one requires that the contractors be experienced and knowledgeable to be sure that the project is successful. It's become more common than not that many of the contractors who are of the size and are capable of successfully completing a project of this size will not participate in standard low bid processes because there's far too many variables that they cannot accurately account for on the front end. They either highly overload the cost process or they just simply don't participate. So, and that has been borne out. We've seen that in several of the city's own projects. Faster total delivery by eliminating the potential for change orders and their negative impact on completion by encouraging cooperative selection of alternative products or compressed timelines, and by promoting good communication. The schedule is almost always met under this type of project delivery. Benefits to operations, the owner, the designer, the contractor work together throughout the project to make improvements as they become known. Many of these improvements will not be known until construction is underway, and the communication promoted through this methodology capitalizes on the working arrangement to take advantage of those kind of opportunities. And in providing public benefit, the Portland Water Bureau customers, the ratepayers, benefit from this construction method by having the most efficient and effective water treatment plan incorporated into their water supply in the most effective and least costly way possible. So that's the conclusion, and basically what we're saying in addition, this is a fully competitive process. There is no limitation on who can bid, but you do want to get some specialized types of people. The CMGC process allows the Water Bureau to actually have contractual authority and contractual capacity to stipulate DMW ESB participation for the selected contractor. And in addition, this methodology promotes highly effective and frequent communication. So the CMGC contract for this treatment facility will use a community benefits agreement for the construction that's mandated by the resolution passed last fall by this council and when they enacted the overall community opportunity and enhancement program. So in conclusion, the Portland Water Bureau, in conjunction with procurement services, asked these three things of the council in the two actions before you: accept the findings and authorize exempting this project from the low bid competitive solicitation requirement, authorize the use of the construction manager, general contractor, CMGC construction, competitive construction method, and approve the PTE contract for Brown and Caldwell. That's actually item 899. Questions?
Good job.
Very thorough.
Thank you.
Public testimony on these items, Carla.
Yes, I believe we have three people signed up.
Excellent.
D. White, Alan Norman, and Colleen Johnson.
So colleagues, Alan and Colleen, who are the co-chairs of the Portland Utility Board, have informed me that they were not able to stick around for the testimony and that they fully stand behind their August 21st, 2018 memo.
Very good. I see Ms. White. Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience.
It's just amazing that y'all always do these really high-end contracts. I'm the only member of the public in here besides Shedrick. All these, and Mary, sorry. During the budget rate hearings, I was the only member of the public in here. You always schedule them during the summer. And plus, I wanted to comment on both of these, but if I only have 3 minutes, it's going to be kind of hard. So, shall I proceed?
Yeah, please.
My name is Dee White. I'm going to talk about the Brown and Caldwell contract first. You've already spent $20 million designing a UV plant over the past 10 years. There's a big pile of documents wheeled in here the day y'all decided to change to filtration. How are you going to account to the ratepayers for this $20 million?
Hey, Dee, we're not here to litigate the question of filtration. The question that you can testify to today is whether you think we should use an alternative procurement method on filtration. The council has made
and
the filtration.
And I can do Brown and Caldwell, too, which is what
sure,
I'm...
Sure, but the question is on alternative procurement, not on relitigating the question of filtration.
The question is also on the Brown and Caldwell contract, and that's what I'm commenting on now.
Yeah, but you started with UV, and the council has made a decision on filtration.
Yeah, and so I'm just asking, where's that $20 million going? You know, it could have been going towards the Brown and the Brown and Caldwell.
It has no bearing on whether we do alternative procurement. The question before us today, and you have every
I'm
right to testify.
I'm talking about the Brown and Caldwell contract now.
Whether we should use alternative procurement and whether Brown and Caldwell should be sold.
Okay. Okay, I'll move on. Okay. The impact statement on the Brown and Caldwell say it is a filtration project, the Bull Run filtration project. You're talking about a filtration plant. The ordinance says Bull Run filtration project. You're talking about a filtration project, a filtration plant. The contract says the project will plan, design, and construct all treatment systems related to the Bull Run supply, including filtration, pre-post treatment systems, disinfection, and corrosion control. This is so not transparent. And I can't even say, I mean, I don't know what to call it. It's not illegal, but you're not, in the ordinance, you're not doing the whole thing. It's for all, it's so untransparent. It's like you've tricked everybody. Unless I'd read this contract, I wouldn't know what you were contracting for. And that's for all treatment systems, including corrosion control. In the meantime, y'all have passed a $650,000 contract last year for a corrosion control project, Confluence. And in this contract, I see that she's going to be getting $1.2 million more dollars for corrosion control. So is this a double payment? Is she getting paid twice? I don't understand that. You also passed last year a contract for Stantec for $7 million for design of a corrosion control treatment plant. So again, are they getting paid to design a treatment plant? and these people are too. It's not right. It's not right for ratepayers to have to plow through all this stuff, and it's not right. And last but not least, what are the benefits of no? That's for my GC. I'm sorry. I'm mainly just commenting on the lack of transparency, and anyway, that's all I want to talk about. That now, can I talk about CMGC?
Why don't you take another minute? Go ahead. You're the only person here, sir.
I know, and that's another thing. You know, it's like you always do this in the summertime.
That's not true.
Oh, Chloe, you haven't been here long enough.
Let's just keep going.
That's fine.
Let's stick to the point. I'd like to hear your perspective.
So I can't talk about the what y'all talked about in the work session and the pub meeting, because I can only talk about this. So I can't go into all the other stuff about the lack, the demand going down, all that. All right, on the CMGC, this is pretty much putting the cart before the horse. It's ridiculous that you are going to be giving a no-bid contract to someone before you've even decided where it's going to be, how big, what type, anything, before you've even decided approved the filtration part. Cart before the horse. Has anyone ever bid on anything this big? I mean, it's the first two treatment plants, y'all said, filtration, they've never been, nothing's ever been built this big. This is a first time. So therefore, we're going to go with the third type. Well, there was no comment. Is this the biggest one ever built? No, but I know it is. Does the contractor that y'all, I mean, is there going to be a track record with this no-bid person that gets the contract? The Washington Park design, Washington Park demolition, was a CMGC, and Powell Butte, and they went to the same contractor, the same designer. The Washington Park is three times over what the bid was.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not true.
Well, listen, let's not have a back and forth. Let's do this. You've asked some good questions.
No,
let's
can
have
I just
staff...
keep talking here
Actually,
and
Ms.
White, not be interrupted?
Christina Nieves on my staff is going to be the liaison to the Water Bureau. We'd like to understand your concerns in greater detail. We're not voting on this today.
You're voting on it next week.
But she will be in touch to try to get a proper conversation with you to understand your concerns better.
Can I keep talking?
Not right now, because we've got half an hour before the next afternoon meeting.
Okay. It was voted on at $72 million. Y'all voted. And then 4 months later, you came back and said, oh, it's going to be a massive amount of work.
That's why
it's going to cost $220
get in touch
million.
With you, and we will have a proper amount of time to understand
Powell
your concerns.
Powell Butte, same thing. Powell Butte, cost overruns.
Wasn't a cost overrun. We re-scoped the whole project, and you know that.
Cost overruns. It ended up having 3,000 cracks.
You can repeat a false statement. You can repeat a false
it.
Statement
okay,
as many
so,
times as you want.
So
it doesn't change the facts.
Commissioner Fritz has agreed to have her team meet with you, and we'll clarify that. You've raised issues, and we're appreciative of that. Thank you. Appreciate
so
you being
what
here.
Should I do, Commissioner Fritz?
If you could stop by my office, make sure that they've got your contact information.
Where? Right now?
If you'd like to, Christina will be in touch.
Christina?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Do appreciate it. Last but not least, colleagues, I'm sorry, I have to move these. Item 898, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.